amigos!
Welcome to the Talking Soccer Podcast, episode 40. 40 straight weeks of greatness coming to you live. It's your boy Duke, and we're a little fired up today. Why? I don't know. 5-0? 5-0 on bets today. Tonight is Wednesday. Wednesday evening, December 4th. We're into the Christmas grind. December, these teams have, what, 8, 9, 10 games in the EPL. It's coming hot and it's coming heavy. So it's good to get on the mic with you guys and talk about this past week. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. Before we get to that, obviously, let's do a little housekeeping. Like I said, episode 40, I am your host, Duke. You can find me on Twitter at DukeDFS. You can find me over at EliteFantasy.com, talking all things DFS, which we've been crushing today. Perfect example. I had a guy who's an elite fantasy subscriber with some other sports, didn't know anything about soccer, decided to upgrade, give it a try, jumps in the chat. First game today, first time ever playing soccer, didn't know any of the players, didn't know anything about roster construction, read my article, jumped in the chat 60 minutes before lock, like we always do, talked through pivots and updates and cash four and core four and the whole nine, scored 110, cashed everywhere, had himself a great day. That's what we love to see. Shout out to Cabin for doing that and hit me up over on Twitter at DukeDFS in my DMs to talk through the slate a little bit. That's where the DFS stuff is. For the betting stuff, which we went 5-0 today, EliteSportsBetting.com. We actually have right now have a special promotion going on. We're extending the Black Friday promotion throughout, I believe, the end of this week. It's code BLACK30, BLACK30 for 30% off any and all package, whether it's DFS or betting, EliteFantasy.com, EliteSportsBetting.com. So if you're not signed up yet and just a fan of the podcast, head on over there for all of my DFS and, of course, betting content. It's not just me. We have experts in every single sport, multiples for most of the sports, NBA, NFL, NHL. Of course, we got esports, Mad Labs crushing MMA, a couple of really cool cards coming up for that. Everyone's on fire over there. We're not heating up. It's not, is it the shoes? It's he's on fire. 5 total bets today in the betting package. Total outlay, 8.6 units. To win, 6.97 units. So it's not like we're padding our record with minus 200 favorites over here. What I play is what you get, and I play to win. 5 total bets. Leicester plus Chelsea to win. United Tottenham over 2.5 goals. Wolverhampton Wanderers, West Ham United under 2.5 goals. Liverpool to win, and then Liverpool minus 1.5. 5-0. Did I mention I went 5-0 today? 5-0. 5 winners, no losers, but a ton of sweating going on. So two things I want to focus on the podcast regarding betting on soccer, and we won't do them in a separate segment. We'll kind of talk about them as we go through today's games. Number one, why I usually wait for team news as opposed to trying to grab closing line value. And number two, why soccer or football for most of us is the most fun sport to bet on. So why we usually wait for team news and why football is the most fun sport to bet on. So we are going to talk through kind of, this is a kind of a recap podcast. We do have a full slate of games coming up this weekend. We also have 2 games on Thursday, which I'll be talking about on Lunch Money. And I'll get to that here just a little bit tomorrow. And then on Friday, I'll be on the opening line talking about Saturday and Sunday's games. And of course, you'll find my articles for DFS on EliteFantasy.com and all my bets over at EliteSportsBetting.com. But let's get into today's Wednesday's slate, because like I said, this is the holiday period. These games do come thick and fast. Tons and tons of squad rotation. This is where injuries pile up. We're just trying to get to the new year, right? Some of these teams have 9 games in the month of December, which is absolutely insane when you think back to August, September. Yes, these teams are ramping up their fitness. Surely they'd like to have more games on the back end when they, you know, maybe have had some time to play together, brought in some new transfers, etc. So I get kind of backloading the schedule, but not in the month of December. This whole thing makes no sense to me, but it's a ton of fun for us to get to sit back and watch. As a player, I'd be hating it. Of course, probably not trading a ton, right? You don't train the day after you play. Get a nice massage, do some light jogging, maybe play some 5v2, a little rondo. So it's fun for those guys, but tons and tons of games. So the wins pile up quick. And today, we, like I said, did I mention we went 5-0 today? But let's start with lesson number one. And we did grab two wins on these today, but this is an example of what not to do. So typically, from a betting perspective, we like to grab closing line value. That's a way, as my good friend the Alcoholic will say, that's how you're profitable long term. It's extremely hard. Only a few people can do it, to pick winners consistently, right? I'm a gambler. I'm not a handicapper. I picked winners. Tommy G is a guy who's he's turning into a quant, that son of a bitch. He's leaving me out in the woods here. He's my only gambler in the whole site. We got a lot of super smart guys, very tech savvy, very sharp guys who are, as soon as that line opens, they're trying to find value and they're hitting it so they can grab that closing line value. And closing line value, for those who don't know, it's, for example, today I had Liverpool starting. It was a little bit later than the main slate of games. I think it was 45 minutes, half an hour later than the main slate of games. So as I'm going through, I wait for team news for the early set of games, the games that kicked off at 2:30 Eastern here in the States. So at 1:30, all the team news comes in. I see who's playing for Chelsea, Villa, Leicester, Watford. From there, I can make an educated decision based on the handicapping I've done previously and the players that are playing, who I think is going to win the game, where I think the value is going to be. Now, what I did today was got lazy. I wanted to put all my bets in at one time because I have to jump into the chat room over at elitefantasy.com to talk to our subscribers over there from a DFS perspective to make sure we can get all these updates and all these changes into our lineups, work with the salary cap and all that, a little bit more complex. And so what I didn't do, I didn't wait for the Liverpool-Everton team news. But I loved Liverpool today. I wanted to grab me some Liverpool today. So I put in a bet, Liverpool money line minus 220. Again, don't usually do that, but I threw a couple units on it just to win one. Couldn't see a way that Everton was going to win the game. I also like Liverpool minus 1.5 today. Grab that at plus 130. Pretty decent odds as a big favorite at home. Now, here's why I typically wait for team news and why I did for the 2:30 games, but was lazy and didn't for Everton, Liverpool. What happened? No Mo Salah, no Bobby Firmino. Huge, huge for the attack of Liverpool, the home favorite, the massive 220 favorite at home, to not have arguably, well, not arguably, because Mane's in there and he had a brilliant game today, but two of the top three attacking players don't start. Now, granted, Shaqiri's a pretty decent player in his own right. Switzerland international, had success in the Premier League. Divock Origi, Champions League goal scorer. So it's not like they're putting in total bums, but it was a downgrade from the attacking side. What happened to the line? Poof, right through the floor. You want to talk about closing line value? I had the inverse of that. So I've got plus 130 for minus 1.5. By kickoff, I could have got plus 200, plus 210. That's not what we want to do. That's the opposite of what we want to do. And that can have that much impact on teams. And that's for Liverpool, who have world-class players coming off the bench. Think of someone like a Burnley. Let's say they don't play Chris Wood. They don't play Ashley Barnes. And they play two no-names up top. Well, the talent drop-off between Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood and their next two best forwards is very significant. And for a team that already struggles to score goals, to not have those proven pieces up top is a huge detriment to their ability to score goals and get results. So for me, that's why I typically wait for the team news to come out versus trying to grab closing line value. Now, in this instance, I probably would have made the same exact bets I'd previously made. I would have just got much better odds. Instead of paying minus 220 for Liverpool to win on the goal line, or on the three-way bet, I could have got them at minus 140. That's huge value I could have picked up there had I just stuck to my discipline and waited for team news and put my initial bets in and then waited and then put my Liverpool-Everton two bets in as well just after that. So lesson number one, that's why I typically wait for team news to come in. I'm not saying it's the only way to do it. There's probably people out there with extremely complex models. I know there are who beat the system, who grab value and who pick winners consistently. I don't have that in my back pocket. I have a model that I trust some. It gives me a starting point, but I just use my brain and my eyes to go off of that. So lesson number one, that's why I do that. Now, as far as the game goes itself, woo! Fireworks, baby. 5-2 was the final, but we had a 4-2 game in the first half. And Liverpool scored early. I think it was like 6 minutes in. Divock Origi scores a brilliant goal. Bang. Just a couple minutes later, Shaqiri scores a goal to make it 2-0. We're flying, baby. Everton obviously playing for their manager, and we'll talk about him here at the end of the podcast. Marco Silva, assuming he loses this game, he likely loses his job based on previous results. And they're up, or they're down 2-0. I was talking to Tommy G in the DMs on Twitter today, and I said, man, if Liverpool grab this next goal, this could get out of hand. But no, no, no. Everton showed some fight. Michael Keane comes back, scores a goal himself. Now it's 2-1. Then Liverpool score, 3-1. Then Liverpool score again, 4-1. And then Richarlison, just before the half, makes it 4-2. This is – soccer's boring, right? There's no goals in soccer. Not today, baby. Second half, a little bit more timid. Late, Liverpool do have several opportunities. Specifically, Sadio Mane was in on goal 2 times. Super casual. He was brilliant in the first half. I did not have a good second half. Should have put the game away there. Had to grab a late goal from, I think, Wijnaldum to make it 5-2. So, hey, bang, bang, there's two of our wins. Liverpool money line and Liverpool -1.5. Still feel bad we lost some of that value on the line because I did not stick to my system and my discipline and wait for that team news to come in. So, 2-0 there. Next bet, Chelsea and Leicester money line parlays to win. You could say Duke. If you were so high on Liverpool, why did you use Chelsea and or Leicester instead of putting Liverpool in there? Why do you make it a 3-team parlay? Well, listener, I hear you. And actually, at first I did. I had Chelsea and Liverpool, but I almost never go all in. That's not really my style. The goal is to make money, right? We look for an edge. We exploit that edge. We hammer that edge, but we never put the house on that edge because it's not a guaranteed winner. There's no such thing. Just not how I do things. So I pulled out Liverpool from that little parlay and said, I love Leicester today. I think Villa's been playing well, but I love Chelsea today. Let's parlay those two because I didn't like their odds straight up. Let's diversify the portfolio. Let's grab these other two games, juice to the nines, and parlay them to grab a win. Yeah, we got 2 wins there. Chelsea went 2-1 over Aston Villa. Went up 1-0 early. Villa grabbed, I think, the equalizer just after halftime. No, just before halftime, sorry. And then 48th minute, Mason Mount grabs a winner. 2-1 there. Was some scary scenes towards the end. I mean, Villa had 9 shots. 3 went on target. And late in the second half, we're pressing, pressing, pressing for a goal. But Chelsea had this the entire way. Anyone talk about why you never go all in? Chelsea should have had 6 goals, 7 goals. I mean, press 23 shots, 9 shots on target, 10 block shots, like just pressing, peppering, peppering, peppering the goal. Constantly had the ball. I think they had like 65% possession. And yet here we are at the end of the game. Villa has a chance to tie it up, pressing for that late goal. Never did come. Chelsea went 2-0. Whew. There's our first win of the parlay. Leicester, Watford. Watford are trash. Leicester are good. This is a no-brainer, right? Well, it takes the 55th minute for Jamie Vardy to convert a penalty for Leicester to take the lead. 95th minute, James Maddison adds a second. Huge goal for him from a DFS perspective. Huge for our bet as well. A little breathing room. Once again, Leicester, 12 shots, 63% possession, 3 big chances created, 7 corner kicks, a lot of stats in their favor. But here we were late in the second half with Watford once again pressing for a goal around the 65th, 70th minute where it could have been an equalizer and then who knows what. But they didn't. Bang, bang. Another win. Chelsea win. Leicester win. We win our parlay. That's why we diversify the portfolio. Now, granted, Liverpool would have won as well. We could have done a little 3-teamer there, right? We could have just left him in instead of Leicester. Diversify the portfolio. Next. I wanted to grab a piece of this marquee matchup between Manchester United and Tottenham. And for those who don't know, I'm a Manchester United fan, grew up a Man United fan. Will continue to be one for the rest of my life. That's how this game works. Jose Mourinho, formerly a manager of Manchester United, left, fired, sacked, in shame. Sat out the game for what, 14 months now, something like that? Just now took over Tottenham. He's won his first 2 or 3 games, I think 3 including Champions League. But they've been so horrendous at the back. Under Pochettino, they've been bad. Under Mourinho, they've been bad. They've been very un-Mourinho-like as a squad. Manchester United at home, been scoring goals. So why don't we grab the over 2.5? And again, I'm simplifying my analysis for the brevity of the podcast, but when we're just looking at generalities, here's a team desperate for a win. Ole, You could say he's on the hot seat. They had this game against Tottenham. This weekend they got Man City. Hey, if Ole loses both of those games and can't win a big game like that, really the only big game, quote-unquote big game he's won this year was Chelsea, the first game when they were dominating United in the first half before going up 2-0. Tammy Abraham breaking the post in half almost with his shot. Big result for Ole. Now, it's also, you got to beat Mourinho, right? You can't let your coach you just fired, you just sacked last year, come into your house with a team and beat your ass. So huge game for both, obviously, parties. Mourinho wanted to come back to Old Trafford. Granted, Tottenham were away. It is a new manager. They are installing some new pieces, new systems, if you will. But once again, curious decision by Jose Mourinho. Eriksen on the bench. Harry Winks comes in. Sissoko's in. He's got Dele Alli playing out of his mind. Harry Kane can bag a goal. Rashford's in good form, but there's no Martial. So a lot of analysis went into this game, and basically what I spit out was, give me that over 2.5. I thought United would win in my heart of hearts, but I don't bet with my heart. I bet with my head. Tottenham, to me, were the team in better form. So I don't want to pick a side in this game. I certainly don't want to play the goal line, so let's look to the total. Over 2.5 it was, and we got home, boys. We got home. Plenty of chances in this game. 6th minute, Marcus Rashford opens the scoring near post in Gazzaniga. Ooh, man, do Tottenham either need A, Lloris to get healthy, which, you can't just fix your elbow. He dislocated his elbow. Or B, you got to dip in the transfer window come January. Mourinho will not put up with subpar goalkeeping, and Gazzaniga is subpar. Beat near post by Rashford in the 6th minute. 30 minutes later, as Tottenham finally got a foothold in this game, and make no mistakes about it, the first 25, 30 minutes of this was all Manchester United. Fred all over the place, getting stuck in, good distribution. McTominay pressing forward, advancing the team. Rashford, after that goal, tail was up, confident as can be. Dan James running that defenders, all Man United. Then finally, Harry Kane drops a little deep. Tottenham sees a little bit more of the ball. Maybe the press from United has slowed down a bit. You can't do it for 90 minutes. Tottenham finds their footing in the game. Ping-pongs around. Beautiful touch from Dele Alli with his goal to back. A defender on his right hip. Another just about a yard and a half away, diagonally to his left. Takes a touch out of the air from his right foot over his left, no, out of his right, over his right shoulder. Barely grazes his right shoulder. Hits his head, flicks over his head, full volley, golazo, Dele Alli. Like I said, Jose's really got him playing well. And I'm probably doing a poor job explaining that. But essentially, he had to take a ball out of the air without it hitting the ground, take a touch, bring it over his head to create an opportunity where he can shoot on goal, and full volley, golazo. Now, unfortunately, the celebrations were muted a little bit because VAR took a look at the goal. Why? Because it barely grazed his shoulder. Look, I'm a United fan, but I also had the over. If they would have called this goal back, I would have gone to Switzerland. I think that's where FIFA is. And protested on their doorstep until someone came out and had a discussion with me. Because there was no business for that being looked at by VAR. The arm was in a natural position. The ball barely grazed his shoulder. There was no movement towards the ball to increase his likelihood of getting that ball, getting that touch. I understand maybe why they did the check, but for it to actually sit there and for us to stare at the screen, that purple screen at VAR, and say, oh my God, are they going to call this back? Tantalizing few minutes. Thankfully, they let it stand. And for us, hey, before halftime, 1-1, total 2.5, we're sitting pretty, right? Second half, Marcus Rashford just 4 minutes into the half buries a penalty. Stupid challenge by Sissoko. United players going towards the end line. I think it was Rashford going away from the goal, right? Going towards the end line, possibly can cross it. Sissoko comes across, barely clips his ankle. Down he goes. Rashford steps up, buries the penalty. That, my friends, is our 5th and final win right now. Now, the order of the games was different, right? Liverpool was the late game, so this was actually the first bet to hit the over in the 49th minute of this game. And the game did finish 2-1. Huge, huge result for Ole. Jose, you know, said all the right things after the match. You know, United were the better team, blah, blah, blah. You know that hurt him. That had to hurt his soul. And as a United fan, watching Ole pat him on the head, oh, thanks, Jose. Cheers, bud. Glorious moment. Glorious moment. Oh, you know what? We have one more game. That's 4-0. because we also had the Wolves West Ham under. If you look statistically at West Ham's performance on the road, plus Wolverhampton Wanderers' performance at home, you look at, yes, Wolves' goals for and goals up, or excuse me, goals against are up this year, but a lot of that production actually comes on the away games. The home games are relatively close, and I think something like 8 of their last 9 games have had 2 or less goals scored. That's just, I mean, Wolves aren't a high-scoring team. West Ham's form on the road, atrocious. So I loved the under in this spot, and we get home with a 2-0 victory by Wolves. Let's talk about Wolves for just a second, because if it wasn't that long ago. Honestly, it wasn't that long ago. Maybe 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, Wolves were in the bottom 3 or bottom 4, something like that, right near the relegation zone. Really struggled out of the gate with results. A lot of draws, no wins. You're sitting there wondering, oof, can they get this done? Quietly, Wolves have worked themselves back up, I believe, into the top half of the table in the Premier League, and this 2-0 win just further cements their ascension. Heck yeah, they're 5th in the freaking table. They're sitting on 23 points after 15 games. Unbelievable turn of form, and again, credit to the manager, credit to the players. And that boy, Patrick Cutrone, came off the bench, scored a goal just 2 minutes after he came on. I hope he gets a run on the team. But the first goal, scored by Leander Dundonker. João Moutinho with the assist there. West Ham. Manuel Pellegrini, perhaps on the hot seat. But that's not all fun and games, right? 5-0 today. Did I mention we went 5-0 today? Yesterday? Well, before we get to yesterday, we did have one more game. Southampton beat Norwich 2-1. Huge result for Southampton. I believe brings them out of the relegation zone. They actually went up 2-0. Danny Ings, that man, scored another goal again. I think that's 4 on the trot for Danny Ings. James Ward-Prowse the assist. Ryan Bertrand grabs a second goal. They're up 2-0 at halftime. Timu Pukki grabs a goal in the 65th minute to make it interesting, and Norwich were pressing for a goal at the end. Relatively even match statistically. So, again, this is a 6-pointer, guys. I mean, this is some people are calling this a 100 million pound game. Some people. When actually, I just called it that once. But some people were calling it that in my house. My wife heard me say it several times. Huge impact on the relegation race. Both teams near the bottom. Norwich, obviously, in big, big trouble. If not for Watford, they'd be bottom of the table. Southampton have been in the relegation zone basically since day one of the season, and this win, combined with Everton's loss, gets them out of the relegation zone. So big, big result for Hasenhüttl and his boys, who have turned things around a little bit. If they can get Danny Ings scoring goals like they have been, they can stay up. They can stay up. And I do like that team. I do like the way they play. They do play a pressing style at times. So while it's appealing to watch Norwich play when their tails are up, hasn't happened too often. So good for Southampton. That, too much on the line for those two teams, too inconsistent from those two teams, not a game that I really wanted to put any money down on, especially with everything else we had going on. So hell of a day, boys. And you know what makes the good days even better? The bad days, right? Got to have a few rainy days to enjoy the sunshine. And yesterday, I had the under 3.5 in the Man City-Burnley game. At Burnley, City away, Pep needing a result, but Sean Dyche, he's playing his usual conservative game. I actually wanted to attack the side, but hated the odds. City were, you know, once again, juiced to the hilt. I was trying to cover for kind of a Burnley masterclass and just decided, I think Burnley's going to set up shop, bunker a little bit. City's going to get their goal. City will probably win, but I can't figure out by how much. Just give me that under. Well, we were looking good for most of the game, and this is point number 2 of the podcast. Why I think soccer, or football, like I said, as most of us call it, is the most fun sport to bet on. Yes, it'll give you ulcers. Yes, it will give you gray hair. Yes, you will sweat. But when a goal goes in that you need in the 90th minute or an extra time, oh my God, there is no better feeling. Seriously, when I scored a goal in throughout my career, that exhilaration, that adrenaline that runs through your body, there's nothing like it. And as I get older and fatter, it's hard for me to find those highs like that. But when you get that goal in the 90th minute to cover your bet, come on, boys. Oh, there's no better feeling. Now, yesterday, the inverse actually happened to me twice. I mentioned we had the under. And in the 85th minute, City were cruising up 3-0. The game had slowed down. It looked like we're probably going to get home. I also had the Man City to keep a clean sheet. So I had two bets on the line here. If the result held, if we waited seven more minutes at 3-0, I went 2-0. Sure enough, that try hard, Riyad Mahrez comes off the bench, does a little scissor, brings it on his weaker right foot, and scores this like squirting worm burner from outside the box that beats Nick Pope inexplicably to make it 4-0. So shit, there it is. 86 minute. The under is done. 4-0 City, but at least we got the clean sheet, right? Nope. Literally a minute later, Burnley are on the attack. Got some weird bounces and ricochets. Kyle Walker, for whatever reason, decides not to close down a ball sitting at the penalty spot and runs back towards his goal behind Ederson. And freaking Robbie Brady steps up unchallenged, buries it. 4-1. 2 minutes later. So at 85th minute, I'm winning two bets. I'm up 2.5 units. 89th minute, I'm 0-2. I lost 2 units. It's 4-1. There goes my total. There goes my clean sheet. But that's why it's so fun. I mean, that sucks. That sucks a lot. But you know what? The sweat is what makes it fun. Today, like I said, the Chelsea game came down to the wire. The Leicester game came down to the wire. Everton, Liverpool, who knew how many goals they're going to score? That game was done, then it wasn't done. That game was done, then it wasn't done. The sweat is what makes it fun, and it's so hard to score. But when you do, oh, that exhilaration. You could say playoff hockey, unbelievable, unbelievable sport. I'll sit down and watch playoff hockey for hours. If you can just give me playoff hockey intensity all day, that'd be the best sport in the entire world. But talk about 85th minute and on in these games with your bets especially. There's no better sweat in the entire world. And you know what I'd be doing if I wasn't betting these games? I'd probably be out cleaning my gutters because the game was over. It was 3-0, and I'm an adult. I got shit to do. And that's another reason why betting is awesome. You watch this game from start to finish. I remember distinctly, I was in Las Vegas for, I don't know if it was the 2002 World, anyway, a World Cup 16 years ago. And the entire book went bonkers. I believe it was on a Ghana goal that was meaningless. And I didn't have a bet on it. I didn't even know what the line was. And I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? You know, they got a billion TVs there. I'm looking at TVs with the horse race. We got NBA going on. It's the summertime. What do we got going on? All these guys are going crazy, and I'm cracking up going, what happened? So I go to ask a guy. I'm like, what happened? He's like, we had Ghana plus 1.5. They just scored in the 93rd minute. Oh, my God. They had no chance. We won the bet. What? Dude, it's awesome. Brings people together, too. You ever just hug someone randomly at a sports book or at a bar or at a casino because you won? Hey, brothers in arms. Brothers in arms. And you know what? We got a ton more stuff coming up this week. Just on Thursday, we have two more games coming up. Arsenal's playing, I believe, Brighton, and then Sheffield's playing Newcastle. That Sheffield-Newcastle game could be a snooze fest. Haven't even looked at the line yet, to be honest. I'm guessing it's like 2 with probably, what is it? Let's look up live. Probably 2 with minus 150 juice on the over. 2 total. Awesome. And then Arsenal host Brighton as well. I'll actually be on the flagship show for EliteSportsBetting.com tomorrow. With Tommy G and the Alcoholic talking about tomorrow's action and then today's action, a couple things that we talked about here on the podcast. It's called Lunchtime. Like I said, it's over on EliteSportsBetting.com, so make sure you check that out over there. Also, on Friday, be on the opening line with Benny Ricciardi discussing this weekend's slate of games. So we're not going to do a big preview of this podcast. Just kind of wanted to run through today's action and yesterday's action and do a couple lessons learned for you guys there. But before I get out of here, let's play pin the tail on the next manager. Who's out? Who's in? I want to talk about three jobs specifically. So since the last podcast, RIP, Unai Emery has been fired at Arsenal. No duh, dude. No duh. Who's been bagging on him this entire year? Basically, the entire time he's been at Arsenal. Your boy. Freddie Ljungberg, obviously a hero, part of the Invincibles for Arsenal, is the caretaker manager, simply cannot be the full-time manager. But Emery, you had to go. He's getting horrendous results with a really good roster. And tactically was so inept. Substitutions were so ridiculous. This team is so much better than, what are they, 8th, 9th, 10th? Who knows right now in the table. So good for Arsenal for making the stand and letting him go. Like I said, Freddie Ljungberg, not going to be the guy. Who is, for me? If you can't get Brendan Rodgers, which, again, why would he leave Leicester? You could say, well, Leicester are a selling club. What are Arsenal? Yes, they bought Pepe, but what are Arsenal? You think Arsenal are going out and splashing the cash? Why would Brendan Rodgers leave for that job? He's sitting in second place with Leicester right now. So he's out. For me, you head to Germany. You go young. You go innovative. You go grab Julian Nagelsmann. And for those who don't know, look him up. Unbelievable coach. He's at a couple different stops over in Germany. I think he's like 31, 32 years old. Really expansive system that he plays in line with Arsenal's way of playing. I've heard some people saying Sam Allardyce for the job. Like, what? What are we talking about? I also heard Sean Dyche should get an opportunity for this shot. Like, what? What are we talking? This is Arsenal Football Club. They're going to pass. They keep the ball on the ground. They touch, move, concede goals. So I get why you could say, hey, maybe a defensive coach makes more sense. That's not the Arsenal way. That's not going to keep the fans happy. Go grab this young gun, Julian Nagelsmann, because he's going to be the real deal. So for me, if I'm Arsenal, that's who I'm going to grab. Now, how about, we talked about him today, Marco Silva. Got to get let go, man. He looks so, I feel bad for him. God, he's on the sideline. Looks like he's going to cry. Oh, when Leicester turned that result around this past weekend, Everton's up 1-0. Leicester score a goal, and then the 95th minute, Iheanacho scores the winner. Everton go from 3 points and a ridiculously good result. Silva's safe to 0 points and now needing a result against their crosstown rivals, Liverpool. He's a dead man walking. He's gone. Who should Everton go grab? Stick with the devil you know, man. David Moyes, he's free. Go grab him. Bring him back in the fold. Set up shop. Let's just survive this year, get back to Everton football the old school way. Go finish 10th, 11th, 8th, something like that. You're not going to compete for Europe, most likely, but you're not going to be in the damn relegation zone like they are right now, I'll tell you that much. Silva out, David Moyes in. Last but not least, Kike Sanchez Flores. Adios. That's the second manager that's been fired by Watford this year. He is no longer there. Interim manager right now. I think he's a youth coach. For me, this is the right spot for Sam Allardyce. Look, they don't have enough attacking talent to bring in some young gun, like I talked about maybe for Arsenal. They need someone who's saved teams before. Big Sam, he's a crooked bloke, right? He got kicked out of the England job for doing backhand deals and bribes and who knows what, but he gets the job done. The football won't be pretty, but it'll give him a chance to stay up. And that is the most important thing right now for Watford. And why... while you can say they deserve the blame for putting the wrong person in place, you got to give them a little bit of credit for admitting it as quickly as they have and saying, look, Kike Sanchez Flores, not the guy. Here's your money. We're idiots, but we should never hire you in the first place. You're gone. Go get Big Sam and try to stay out. The difference in money between the Prem and the Championship, $70 to $100 million. I applaud them for making that decision, eating the financial bullet, getting rid of a manager who had no shot of keeping them up, give themselves a chance. So that's pin the tail on the manager. I'm sure there's going to be more. Ole, Ole in, Ole out. What are you? Let me know on Twitter at QPFS. It's been a fun episode. Did I mention we went 5-0 today over on EliteSportsBetting.com? I am your host, Duke. We'll see you next year and next week. Adios.